nearly 150 or so years ago, people would wait excitedly for the election or the inauguration of the president. In Indiana or Illinois or Connecticut, people who'd supported Harrison or Van Buren, Polk or Clay, Buchanan or Fillmore couldn't wait to see their candidate take office. Now, this wasn't out of obsessive political engagement, mind you. It was because these people had bet cold, hard cash, or sometimes a horse or buggy, or shares of stock in Sparta Steam Flouring Mill Company, that a particular candidate would indeed take the presidency. Yep, they'd bet on the outcome of the country's top election. And sometimes, only the actual inauguration would suffice. I know this history because the losers of the bets would sometimes balk after the outcome, and the winners would then often approach a court to ask that the bounty be turned over to them as the rightful owner. I say often because a quick search pulled up at least 12 cases in Illinois alone from 1814 through 1893. But alas, often the winners would leave empty-handed, including some guy named A. Gamble, and I'm not making that up. They'd leave without their winnings because of statutes like one in Illinois that was titled Act to Prohibit Betting on Elections, passed in 1839. Here's a sample of the language paraphrased by an early Illinois court. The act makes any person who shall bet or wager any money, property, or valuable thing on the result of any election held under the laws or constitution of Illinois liable to indictment and punishment. And Illinois wasn't the only state that refused to back contracts against public policy. Now, you might wonder why state legislatures set out to crack down on election betting, what made wagering on elections against public policy. A court in Alabama put it this way. The object was to preserve the purity of the ballot box by preventing improper influences from being brought to bear upon electors who should cast their votes from high considerations of public duty without regard to the private interest of anyone. Now, sometimes these electoral gamblers seized upon some unique language in a statute to try to limit such concerns and be awarded their winnings. In Illinois early on, for example, a few gamblers tried to convince courts that it was perfectly okay to wager on an election that occurred outside the state of Illinois, which presidential candidate Pennsylvania would go for example, because the state statute was meant to protect only those elections that occurred in-state. And they sometimes won, because sometimes they were represented by talented law firms like Lincoln and Herndon, as in that Lincoln, and I'm not making that up either. But eventually, courts recognized that states as far apart from each other as Illinois and Pennsylvania had become neighbors, thanks to rapid passage by the power of steam, and ended all betting on any elections, whether in-state or out. So even today, there's a criminal statute titled Betting on Elections in Tennessee. And in Illinois, here's the pertinent language from the criminal gambling statute. A person commits gambling when he makes a wager upon the result of any election. It goes without saying that that includes inaugurations as well. I'm Amy Guida.